Hey everybody, Shane Presley here to tell you about my friend's music record shop. Find him at 4191 A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. They have all new music happy hour starting Friday, 10% off any purchase. Four Hands beer will be available, and new vinyl coming in from Amy Winehouse, Winona and the Big Noise, Johnny Cash, Jurassic 5, AC/DC, Stone Temple Pilots, Aerosmith, Lou Reed, and a lot more. So get down there, check out Music Record Shop, follow them online, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
This is Jeff from Vote for Pedro. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
See why you think you belong with me. Never try to make you think or let you see one thing for yourself. Now you're off for someone else and I'm alone. You see, I thought I might keep you for my own. Amy, what you wanna do? I think I could stay with you for a while, maybe longer if I do.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Schlafly Bottle Works in Maplewood, Missouri. If you hear a little background noise, that's what's going on. What's pretty happening down here tonight. But I'm hanging out here with Jeff Faulkner of Vote for Pedro and the Three Pedros.
That's right. Hello, hello.
Hey.
How are you?
Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I want a quick plug for myself to get this out there. I've been, anybody that's been following the show on Facebook or my personal page, I do have Rock Paper Podcast shirts available now for order. So if you want to let everybody know your favorite St. Louis local music podcast, get out there and get yourself a Rock Paper Podcast shirt for $15. And
awesome.
Yeah, so... yeah, those. I mean, they turned out pretty cool, man. I'm happy with them, and I'm hoping that they people want to wear them. And some people were asking about it. And I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. So they're out there now.
Cool. I'll have to pick one of those up.
Yeah. But yeah, man. So let's talk a little bit about you. Are you originally from St. Louis?
Yeah, originally from St. Louis. Grew up here. Went to high school here.
Yeah. Well, I gotta ask them, where'd you go to high school?
Oh, yeah, you gotta ask where I'm from high school. I went to high school at Bayless. Bayless High School, which is South County.
Okay.
South County area, kind of close to Afton, you know, area. But went to high school here. Went to college in Phoenix, Arizona. And then came back here after college and have been here ever since.
Yeah. You know? All right, man. Yeah, I've... born and raised myself. I live out in Wentzville area, just outside of town, and 40 miles out. But it's home. I like it out there. It's
nice. Yeah. It's nice and safe.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, I'm down. I frequent the city quite often. You know, especially doing the show. I try to travel a lot for the show. Get where my guests are comfortable in their own surroundings and things, and. Or whatever it might be, and I tend to wind up in Tower Grove and a couple, you know, area around there. Like, it just seems like that's where a lot of the artists are living at right now.
Yeah, there's a healthy music scene in the city.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of really good musicians, like especially like the South City area.
Yeah,
I love the city. I live just outside the city, but spend most of my time probably in the city.
Yeah,
all my favorite places to go are in the city. You know, so that's kind of where I hang. You know,
what's your favorite St. Louis local eatery?
My favorite. I don't know if I have a favorite. You know, I would say one that I've tried recently, which I think is actually closing now, is Blood and Sand.
Okay.
Downtown. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really good. You have to actually be a member.
Whoa.
To eat there, you know, but I think the membership's like $10 a month or something. But it's actually worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it because it's really good.
Huh.
I don't know if it's closing. I just think they're selling it. I think they're still open, but they're in the process of just selling it to a new owner or whatever. But it is really good.
Yeah,
and it's one of these places. It's downtown and hidden away. You would never know it was there. You know,
what kind of food they do there?
It's just sort of Americana type stuff, you know. But the chefs there are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, and I really like their stuff a lot.
Yeah.
Cheshire is awesome too.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's qualifies as the city, but close enough.
Yeah.
So then there's a bunch of places like on the Loop and, you know, Salt and Smoke, man.
Sure. That's one thing I have been trying to get better about, you know, as I get older and more in the city now with the show and other things. I've been just trying to broaden my horizon and everything. I'm trying more different foods and trying new things. And there was a lot of stuff food-wise, you know, like I just recently tried sushi and Thai food and stuff like a couple things like that.
If you like Thai food, like South Grand, you got King and I, and then you like Vietnamese, like Pho Grand down there is like my favorite Vietnamese restaurant in the whole city. I go there once a month.
Yeah,
like I have like cravings for that place. It's really good and it's cheap too. I mean, but it's really good. But South Grand just has a ton of really, really good places to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and the Grove has a bunch of places. You know, like Layla and all the yummy spots are in the city.
I went to Gramophone not too long ago. They've been.
I've heard their sandwiches are good.
They've been rocking it with some of those sandwiches, man.
I'll have to try that out. I've been there, but I've never eaten there.
And a little insider tip I was given: they have this app that they started using. And I guess like you can pretty much use it like a lot of places, but Gramophone is on there now, and they have but it's called Flock, FLOK, and. So one of the guys there working there told me about it, so I downloaded it. And it's got a kind of one of those like scanner deals, and if you like, they have a scanner thing, a barcode deal at the register, and if you scan it, and then like kind of deal, like if you know you like your 10th sandwich free kind of deal, it's like a virtual punch card kind of thing.
Oh,
but,
cool. Okay.
But if you do like if you like check in like 50 times there, like you get like. I don't know, something like 10% off all your purchases for life or something like that.
Yeah.
And like if you check in like 100, you get like, I don't know, keeps going on. But like it's a really nice rewards program, and it's like, that's a lot of check-ins, but I'm just, but it seemed like a pretty cool idea. So hopefully more places will kind of get on that. Because I get those punch card things and I just end up losing them whatever. So
Or they
disintegrate in my wallet and
so, that's a good idea. I like that much better than carry a card around.
Yeah.
All the time.
Or like you go to Walgreens or whatever, they all give you those keychain things that you gotta have.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't need 40 keychain deals.
Right.
So
yeah, that's what I like about the Starbucks app.
Yeah.
You can just scan your phone and see you later.
Yeah.
Convenient.
Yep. But yeah, is it just guitar for you, or do you you play other?
I play guitar and sing.
Yeah,
those are my things.
So when did you get into playing guitar?
I probably started around the age of 12. Yeah, it was just one of those things. As soon as I started playing, I dropped everything else. You know, I was playing sports at the time, and you know, I just dropped everything and just focused on guitar. You know, it sucked me in at that point.
Who was the one that really got you inspired to start playing?
I guess at first, like Randy Rhoads.
Okay.
Got me going, you know, and then David Gilmour and Angus Young, like those three guys.
Some good ones. Yeah.
Those three guys are what really got me into it.
Yeah, you know? What's crazy is, besides Gilmour, I don't know what he's doing, but Angus is touring this year, and Black Sabbath's also on tour. But
David Gilmour is touring as well.
Is he doing?
He's doing a solo tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that one yet.
Which his solo record's really good.
Yeah?
Really good, yeah.
But it's just kind of crazy that all that music's still around and still, and those guys, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? I just bought tickets today for Sting and Peter Gabriel.
Okay.
You know, nice. I've been wanting to see Peter Gabriel since I was 25 years old,
yeah,
you know. So luckily he's still touring, you know, I'll be able to see him.
Yeah.
So
one of my favorites, Rival Sons, are opening for Black Sabbath on this tour.
Oh, cool. I've heard of them. I haven't heard much of their stuff.
No, man, they are so good. They I finished the first tour. They're playing a handful of like headline dates on off nights of the Black Sabbath tour, and they're headlining in Nashville with an opening for them is Tyler Bryan and the Shakedown, another one of my absolute favorites.
They're opening for AC/DC.
They're doing a handful of dates with AC/DC after that, but both of them are playing together in Nashville for $20.
That'd be a good show
in February, and I'm like, I'm there. So I took the night off. I took a vacation. I'm running down to Nashville on February 18th. And
that'll be a good show.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Nashville's. Have you ever been to Nashville?
Sure, yeah.
Been there many, many times.
Yeah.
And it's a great city.
I never really have had a lot of time to hang there, like, you know, to go Broadway and do the, you know, tourist stuff and hit the, you know, bars and stuff. But, like, I went down for... it was like a free Capitol Records block party thing, and Jackson, Eric Church, and Eric Paisley, and
cool.
So we were like, for a free Eric Church or free Alan Jackson show, and I was like,
I've probably been there 10, 15 times, something like that.
Yeah.
And every time I've been there, I've been working, you know, recording or mastering or something, you know, or playing. And the last time I went this past summer. It was just me and my son, and we got to do all the tourist stuff, which was awesome. And then we went to the Grand Ole Opry and the Country Music Hall of Fame, and there's just tons to do there. And the people there are the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
You know, they're just very forthcoming, very. They act like you've known them your whole life.
Yeah.
You know, so just really nice people there.
Yeah. So. With Rival Sons, I started following them online, you know, I discovered their music, and I was like, these guys are so good, and like, finally they came close enough, they came to Columbia, Missouri, and they played, it was then Mojo's, now it's Rose Music Hall.
Oh, okay.
And they played there, and ran up there and hung out, you know, got to meet the guys, got my vinyl autograph and stuff. And,
very cool, yeah.
And then the next night, they were opening for Sammy Hagar at Verizon, so... to go from a little bitty bar to you know, massive amphitheater there, that was pretty crazy. But they really talented guy. I'm not sure why they haven't quite broke through like as you know, national level. But they
you know, like rock and roll is tough these days, man. Like, not many rock and roll bands are on the top 10 Billboard.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Charts, you know, it's all this new dance stuff, you know, which is—it's kind of sad, but you know, I think it's kind of cyclical, you know, like it'll come back around, you know, but there are a lot of great rock bands out there, and it's, you know,
it's all right though. It's like you got to kind of fight to kind of find the good stuff, you know. And it's a little bit more underground now.
I think with those guys, I think they're like huge in like Europe though. Like they'll go, they tour a lot of Europe, and like they'll just, you know, people go crazy for it over there still. So,
right.
So that's pretty. I don't know why in the States though. They're originally from California area, so it's like, you know, but.
Yeah, I saw a band open for the Foo Fighters called Royal Blood that blew me away.
Yeah.
And I went to see them at the Ready Room. They did their own show there, and they were just unbelievable, man. Just two guys.
I
don't really usually don't like the duo thing. Yeah. I never really was a big fan of like White Stripes. Yeah. You know, I like Black Keys, but it's not really just the two of them.
Yeah, not anymore.
When you go see them live, it's a full band, you know, but... Yeah. But Royal Blood was really impressive. Yeah, they were good.
They, I think I first heard about those guys on Stern's show.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly how he quite discovered them, but he started hyping them up a lot on his show.
I bet you Dave Grohl had something to do with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Dave. You know, Dave's been on the show a bunch too, but I don't know. I think it was also part of like I think they were featured on some. Some show or some soundtrack kind of thing or whatever, you know, like a HBO show or whatever, one of those kind of things like that, a soundtrack to a show. But anyway, he just started talking about, like, hey, you gotta check out this Royal Blood. And I'm like, all right, you know, but
there's lots of good rock music out there. It's just not what the young people want to listen to. So it's not, you know, not on the top 10 Billboard chart, you know. It's like, well, that's fine, you know, because. The true rock fans will be able to find it, you know, and that's what keeps it alive, you know. So,
with Tyler Bryant's band, Graham Whitford is guitar player, and his dad is Brad Whitford.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of their foot in the door.
That helps.
But I mean, obviously, those guys have definitely earned their spot. I mean, they're fantastic, but it helps when your dad's an Aerosmith. So
yeah, it's like, you know, the band Fiction playing at Sting's son.
Yeah,
and they were opening for the Police when the Police did their last tour. You know, so there's nepotism going on.
Sure.
But Fiction played's a good band.
Yeah.
Like they're a good band, but they're only opening for the Police because Sting's his dad.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
So there's politics involved.
Yeah,
a lot of times. Yeah,
You ever listen to Stern show much at all?
I love Howard Stern. Yeah. I haven't listened to him lately. My satellite radio is not operating.
Yeah.
So,
I've
been listening to Howard Stern since like the late 90s.
Okay.
Like I first got hooked onto him when I moved to Phoenix.
Yeah.
After high school, when I got, because he wasn't on the air here.
Yeah.
And when I went out there, he was on the air, and that's when I caught on to him. He was so great. It was almost better before he went to satellite.
Yeah.
Like he was more edgy before he went to satellite.
Sure.
To me, you know,
because
I'd never heard anything like that before in my life.
Yeah,
you know?
He's definitely calmed down a lot.
He's old.
Well, he's like, so yeah, he's almost 60 now, and like, and that's I don't know, but I love his show now. I think obviously being on satellite, he's free to say whatever he wants, and like. It just, you know, is a lot.
Which is ironic, because now that he can do that, he's more tame.
Yeah, sure. But, you know? I mean, at least he doesn't have to stop and think about how to say something without getting in trouble. And like,
yeah. But it takes kind of the mystique away, too, because when he was on terrestrial radio, he was doing things he wasn't supposed to be doing, and that's what kind of drew you to him. Like, this guy's like, this guy's taking chances, you know.
The line in Private Parts, Paul Giamatti says, the listeners, he's got whatever, so many listeners at this time, and the average Stern fan listens 4 hours a day or something like that.
Yeah.
And the answer why? Because they want to hear what he's going to say next.
Yeah.
The average Stern hater listens 5 hours a day. And they say why? Because they want to hear what he's going to say
next.
Right. Like,
But
yeah, they, it was, a bit, yeah, man, I, anyway, thinking, I listened today, like I said, a lot in my car, just huge fan. And,
I know Crackhead Bob passed away.
So that was a bummer, man.
But they'll always have his sound bites.
Sure.
And those sound bites, like Fred is like a genius on that show. Like
so
way
quick.
flies in these little sound bites, little sound snippets and stuff. It's just so funny. That might be like the funniest part of the show. Yeah, I mean,
I've discovered that I really know when I'm a big fan, because I'll start doing the sound effects before Fred does them. Like,
right.
You know, it's like, or do them like right at the same time. Like, yeah. I'll know exactly what I'll be on that same level with Fred. Like, you know, that the, you know, if somebody says something, and I'll know exactly what sound effects is going to drop in there and stuff.
Yeah,
and
they used to always use those Mel Gibson phone call sound effects, man.
Yeah.
Crack me up,
man. And we also, just recently passed was Riley Martin.
Oh yeah, I saw that too. Yeah. he was hilarious on there, man.
So I don't know. I'm gonna miss those guys. It's kind of a bummer that, you know, these characters that were so great on the show. And I mean, so many Eric the actor. He just passed recently, and you know, all these guys are But even not even in that show, we're losing a lot of great artists too. You know, like this is true.
Yeah.
Bowie and Lemmy
I was lucky enough to see Lemmy at the pageant this past summer.
Oh wow!
And he looked pretty fragile, man. Like, he was tiptoeing through that set. You know, the loudest concert I've ever been to in my life. Yeah. You know, and I've been to some loud concerts. But
it's things like that though. Like,
but I'm just glad I got to see him.
Yeah. You know, that's why I try to go. Like, my wife will say to me sometimes, like, well, didn't you just see him last time or whatever? And it's like, but you never know when it's going to be the last time.
Yeah,
so, like,
and I was lucky enough to see Bowie
with
Nine Inch Nails back in 94, long time ago. It was an awesome show.
Yeah.
Awesome. But Bowie hit me hard. Like, that was a tough one to take.
Sure.
Just, you know, a huge influence. And you think about, you know, why am I affected by this? I don't know this person, you know, but you connect with these people in a way. Their music connects to you, connected with their art, essentially.
Yeah.
So yeah, when something like that happens, it does affect you. It's weird how it affects you.
Sure.
You know, but, you know, we'll always have his music, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know any truth to the rumor, but I saw a little bit like, some post about, like, that he recorded a bunch of records that he's wanted to release, like, you know, after his death and stuff. So, like,
I don't know about that. I know he was planning on recording another album after Black Star,
right?
But I don't know if he ever recorded anything or what. You know,
but that's kind of like Tupac, you know, like, he still continues to.
But
put
I'm
out.
Sure there's tons of unreleased Bowie.
Sure.
Songs, Bowie recordings that haven't been released that'll get released. That'll be great.
Yeah,
you know, that'll be really cool.
I think that was not, you know, not that they're very, you know, way different, but according to some of the story with, like, you know, the way those Tupac records are still coming out, is like he would go in and, like, just record these acapella tracks and, like, and then, like, he would record, like, I think he said he would, there was times like he would try to do, like, you know, whatever, three a week or a day or whatever, you know, something like that. He was just putting out, just recording a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, so they took a, like, they might not be finished songs, but somebody went in the studio and cut enough stuff together and put a beat to it and make a track out of it and put it out. And so I imagine, I'm sure some stuff like that will happen with Bowie's stuff, like somebody getting
in there. Yeah, I know there's probably tons of unreleased music that never made it out there that will get put out, you know, and that's great.
Yeah.
You
know? I like them. I mean, like, even though it might not be, like, you know, the hit or whatever, but I enjoy, like, the B-sides or the alternate takes or these, you know, kind of that kind of stuff, demo versions and stuff. Yeah. I enjoy hearing, like...
And the difference, you know, like, all these artists who have been passing away, with the exception of Lemmy, but, you know, it's kind of debatable whether this applies to him or not. But with Bowie, you know, he was putting out good music up until the end. You know, I mean, Glenn Frey, very sad about him passing away, but the guy hadn't put out anything good in who knows how long, you know. Not to discredit anything he wrote or recorded, because it was brilliant, you know. But that's where Bowie's different with all these people. Like, he was still putting out, like, good material up until the very end, you know. And, I mean, current record's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a shame. You know, I mean, Lemmy was putting out music still to the end, too, but debatable on whether or not how good it was. Yeah. You know.
Did you see the video of Lemmy, like, taking questions from fans? There's somebody started going, it kind of went viral after his death, and but he's pretty young, and I mean not like, you know, super young, but he's taking some questions from the fans, and somebody writes in a letter, and you know, that's to show you how long ago it was a letter, not an email or text or Twitter or any but yeah, so he's reading this letter, and it was guy said, or the kid said something about, you know, that he was a young black man playing guitar and he wanted to play rock and roll, but, you know, it was kind of like people judged him for it or something like that, and like, and you know, he's like, and Lemmy said something along the lines of like, you know, it worked out for Jimi Hendrix, so tell him to piss off, you know. He's like,
right.
So I just thought it was great though, like just that attitude that he had about it, you know, like it just seemed like such a cool guy, like, you know, as a human being and stuff. And
yeah, I mean, he was the real deal, you know what I mean, and just completely, just totally himself.
Right.
Like, he wasn't putting on any kind of an image, any kind of a front. That was just Lemmy.
Yeah.
You know, I've never met him. I don't know the guy.
Yeah.
You know, but you listen to everybody talk about him who did know him, and that's what they say about him.
Yeah.
And people I do know that have met him say that about him.
Yeah.
You know, it's exactly what you see.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that was some of that with Bowie too. Like, I saw a clip. Like after he passed on the Conan O'Brien show, and Conan put together, you know, Bowie used to go on his late night show a lot. And
I saw that. Yeah, I actually saw that. Yeah.
And it kind of shows like more of the personality and these guys and stuff besides the performer, but the real life, you know, somehow funny. And
well, Bowie was, he had many sides.
Sure.
You know, but he definitely had a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
A keen sense of humor. Just the consummate artist. Everything he put his hands on was, there was art involved in it somehow, some way. You know, he kind of declared himself not in rock and roll. Like, I'm not in rock and roll. He's like, I'm using rock and roll to get my art out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could care less about rock and roll.
Right. You know? Somebody also saw a thing online. It was like a evolution of the various, you know, it was like a quick little, like, kind of almost like a flip book kind of thing, you know, like if you strummed your finger across the pages, and like, it's kind of a little video like that of all the different faces of Bowie and stuff over the years, and like, and it was pretty crazy to see how he's evolved so much.
That's one of the things about him that I admired so much was his transitions, you know, from Ziggy to, you know, he went from Ziggy Stardust to the Young Americans album, where, you know, it was a soul record, you know, and he put out two, like, soul R&B records after Ziggy Stardust, and then went into this, like, Thin White Duke thing with Brian Eno, and was doing all this experimental Brian Eno stuff, and then went into, like, the Let's Dance record, which was total top 40, like, dancey pop stuff. And throughout all these transitions, the music was always good.
Yeah.
It was always good music, you know. The guy was just a good songwriter.
Sure.
Great songwriter, great lyricist, and always surrounded himself with great musicians.
Yeah.
Great musicians, you know.
Yeah.
So that, you know, he was smart about it in that way.
Yeah. You know? Well, man, let's talk about some of your music and the musicians you get to play with. So we mentioned you play now with Vote for Pedro, and that's more of your cover band stuff.
Yeah, Vote for Pedro. Been around 9 years. It'll be 10 years in June, and it's all cover stuff, and. Which is weird, because I came from doing all original music for 12 years before I ever did cover music.
Yeah.
And some of that's age related.
All
right. You start getting up there and you start thinking, maybe I'll go make some money at this.
Yeah.
You know, see if I can use my guitar to make some money. You know. And so that's kind of what I did.
Right.
So started Vote for Pedro like in 2006, and it started out just kind of a four piece. We were more rock. It was more of just a straight ahead rock cover band, you know. And we were playing a few times a month, you know. And it just sort of evolved, you know. It just kept evolving, and next thing we know, now we're a dance band. You know, it's all like mostly dancey stuff. But the musicianship is really good. We've been able to build up a decent following, and you know, have gone from starting out playing little dive bars around town to doing, you know, like all of the biggest cover clubs, nightclubs, yeah, and casinos in town. You know, so that's kind of what we're doing now. It's a lot of, like I said, like kind of like a few of the biggest nightclubs in town, and we're doing the casino circuit, and we do private events and corporate events as well. So,
does that name come from the Napoleon Dynamite?
Yep, yeah? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, when we started the band in 2006, that movie had come out like kind of close to around that time.
A couple years ago.
I don't know the exact year it came out.
Yeah.
Or at least I was exposed to it like around that time.
It was kind of one of those that like hit and then like, it was like a more of a cult kind of thing that it started catching on. So a lot of people watched like years later.
And we, that slogan like was like they were making t-shirts with that slogan on it, and it was just kind of everywhere. And You're starting a band, and like you're thinking of a name. Like there's two ways to go about it. You can sit there and like just brainstorm over it for like 2 weeks and think of 100,000 names and narrow it down to the one you like the best. Or you can just go off the cuff and say, let's just go with that.
Yeah.
So we went off the cuff and said, hey, let's just go with that.
We picked a couple of names like that too. When we were naming the show, and we threw it on Facebook and had our friends kind of put a vote to it, and Rock Paper Podcast was like the runaway winner. So we're like, all right, there it is. It's, you know, we'll run with that. So
band names usually, you know, most of the time they just have, especially like with a cover band.
Yeah.
You know, there's really very little meaning. You know, the most important thing is to make sure it kind of goes with the style of music you're doing, you know, which at the time, you know, when we first started it, it was fun, kind of youth-driven rock we were playing, so it kind of had a high school-y kind of feel to it, at least we thought it did.
Yeah.
So it made sense with Napoleon Dynamite, because they're in high school, right? At least that's what we thought. I don't know. Probably makes no sense. Definitely makes no sense now, because we're doing mostly dancey stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not, like, youth-driven and rock-driven, but once you start with the name, you can't necessarily change it, five years down the road, you know? So.
I had friends that did that. They went from they were known as Ghost in the Machine, and then it turns out there's like a lot of Ghost in the Machines.
Is that the Police tribute band?
No, they're now out of Jeff City.
Oh, okay, because there was a Police tribute band called out here too.
Oh, yeah. But they're all original. But then they end up changing their name to Maiden Waves, and it was like it was really a difficult process, you know, I went through that with one of my
original bands, and it's like when you change your name, there's so much that goes into it, you know, I mean, you're alienating a lot of people who were following you as the original name, and then you have to redo your website, and redo your press kit, and redo all this promo stuff, you know, it's just a big mess, you know. But the time we changed our name back in my original band, we were called Shine, and there were like five other Shines, we found out. So we were like, we gotta change the name.
Yeah.
You know, we love that name.
And Collective Soul.
they had the song, called Shine. But then, there was like, because we were in the we were shopping ourselves to record labels, nice. You know, and you know, they one of the labels suggested we change our name because there was already a band called Shine that had a deal, you know. So if you get signed, you're gonna have to change your name. Yeah. So you might as well change it now, you know.
And this, I think we're in that era now, like too, where you got to be Googleable, you know. Like, if you type in Shine, or you got, you know, Shine Band or whatever, you got to, you know, it's you got to have something.
Yeah, you don't want 45 things related to Shine pops up.
All right, so that's something to think about too when you're naming something.
Yeah, when we named, we came up with the name Vote for Pedro, it was very easy. It was like that slogan was all over the place.
Yeah.
There were no other Vote for Pedros in St. Louis. Yeah. I mean, you're a cover band. Who cares? As long as no other band in St. Louis called that,
sure,
we'll go with it.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah, I talked to my friends, Talk.
Oh, they're great. Oh, yeah. I love that band.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I love that band.
But they said exactly what they were saying is they named themselves Talk, and they realized that it's like impossible to Google search.
Yeah, I love watching their guitar player.
Yeah, Brian.
He's awesome to watch. Man.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah. So along with Vote for Pedro, you do a original part of that is Three Pedro.
Well, Three Pedros is a cover band as well.
Oh, okay.
But it's an acoustic trio.
All right.
And it's three of us from Vote for Pedro. Me and our singer and our keyboard player, and you know, that started out as just kind of a fluke. You know, I had asked our keyboard player like 3 years ago if he wanted to start doing like a little acoustic duo, just kind of a fun kind of thing, make a few extra bucks, maybe play a couple times a month.
Yeah,
he was like, "Yeah, sure," and you know, our singer got wind of it, and he like weaseled his way into it. No, he wanted to do it, so we turned it into a trio, and it just sort of took off, man. You know, we do a pretty wide variety of stuff with that. We do everything from like classic rock, a little bit of modern rock, some soul, some country. It's really diverse and just appeals to a wide variety of people, you know. We just started out playing a couple times a month, and now the thing plays like 7-8 times a month.
Nice.
You know, we have an every Thursday gig at Truffles and Ladoo that we do, and that just the crowds are great, and they just keep getting better and better. And but we play a lot of those types of places, a lot of like upscale restaurants, wine bars, wineries. And those types of places with that.
I heard Steven Tyler on Stern Show, and I think it might have been. I guess it's fairly new. I don't know. Sometimes I catch these repeats, and sometimes they replay them, but like they're a little like you know, a week or two old or whatever. But anyway, but he was on to promote his new record, and I guess it's more considered country stuff now.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But they were kind of talking about how.
Which is weird. There's a lot of rock artists that are now living in Nashville.
Yeah.
Putting out country records.
Right.
Weird.
But I mean, what I was saying is how like they Stern and Steven were kind of discussing how like if you took an Aerosmith song and you do it more of an acoustic arrangement, like Crying or whatever, you know, it's a country song. It's
well,
like
country has evolved so far into a rock kind of thing that, yeah, of course. I mean, you can turn any rock song into a country song now because country is rock.
Yeah.
The music is rock music with a twangy singer.
Sure.
You know, which to me is wrong, man. Like, you know, but I'm an advocate for old school country. I love old school country music, and I think that's the real stuff.
Yeah, there seems to be a movement. You know, I think a lot of people are sick of the pop country that's coming out. But I think there's like a little bit of movement going on with like guys like Jason Isbell and Chris Stapleton and
Jason Isbell's great. I like him.
Sturgill Simpson. You know, these guys are more traditional, classic country kind of sounds.
Yeah. And, Jason Isbell to me is more
I don't really consider him country. Yeah, he's more Americana, sure. Folk.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Like his writing. Yeah. And like his voice. He's got a good voice.
Right.
And I like his story. You know, he got clean, and you know, a lot of his tunes off his second record are about getting clean. You yeah. know, and sobriety. You know, which is cool. You know.
Yeah, definitely. It is.
As a non-drinker.
Right.
And someone who is sober,
yeah.
easy for me to connect with.
Definitely, yeah.
You know.
I mean, not that I didn't have to go through it like he did, but yeah, I just never been a fan. So of drinking. So I drink. Yeah.
Well, you're smart. You know what? It seems like more. It seems to me like the younger generation, they aren't as concerned with that. Yeah. They aren't as concerned with partying and drinking. You know, like it's a very strange thing to me,
yeah.
you know, because that's all I thought about when I was younger,
sure.
you know, but I just think, I don't know, I don't think it's a big priority for younger people these days. I don't
yeah.
know, maybe I'm out of touch, man. I don't
yeah.
know, you know, but
I mean, I
does
know.
It seem like it?
I think there's, I mean, I'm sure there's a fair share of partiers still out there, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we have the, you know, Motley Crue's anymore, the right. you know, like yeah. mainlining Jack Daniels and yeah. whatever, and that kind of crazy stuff they were doing.
When I was coming up, those are the guys I looked up to.
Right.
You know, and that's what I thought you did. Yeah. You know, if you're in a band, this is how you behave, this is what you do, you know? And, yeah, that those rules are long gone.
Right.
You know?
you also doing, you were saying you got a new project you're kind of getting going?
Yeah, I got a third band I'm playing with. I don't have much free time, obviously. we have it's a funk band called Empire Groove. It's me and two of the guys I used to play in the band Soul Kiss with. Soul Kiss was around 97 to 2000, and we had some local success with that band.
Yeah.
We've all kind of jumped in and out of projects together ever since Soul Kiss disbanded or whatever, and we just started doing this about 6 months ago. And we're in the writing process, and should be playing out with it hopefully by like the summer, you know, summer of 2016. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be like horn section and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So very 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 funk driven, you know.
Very nice.
So far it's sounding really good. So.
I like a lot of that stuff, man. I frequent the Broadway Oyster Bar a lot, and
yeah.
and now I work there.
Oh, cool! I wouldn't be surprised if we're playing there at some point.
But that's a lot of what you know. They Funky Butt Brass or Groove Liner or Unifia and all these.
Unifia is a band that you know, I think once this thing gets up and going, you know, it's probably a band we'll probably approach about playing with.
Yeah.
You know. I heard about them and the Provels. I think they're kind of a funk thing. And I know Jim Peters from that band is a great guitar player.
Yeah.
But once we're up and running, we'll probably be hitting these guys up for opening slots.
Sure.
You know,
I met Spanky the other day. He was playing with Sean Cannon at Oyster Bar. And Spanky's keys in Provels.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So... but yeah, I've seen Provels at Halo Bar before, and they're a lot of fun. They're
cool. Yeah, I haven't checked them out yet. Like yeah. you know, playing in two other bands keeps me rather busy.
Yeah,
you know. But I'm looking forward to getting out and playing some original music again. You know, the cover thing is great, and it pays the bills, kind of thing.
Sure.
But after a while, you know. Someone like me who came from all original music, I can only go a couple of years till I gotta do something original.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people that just that's all they've ever done is play cover music. You
right.
know, it's a weird concept to me. You know, because you know, I don't know, like, to me, it's, you practice your instrument to get to a certain level, and then you should use that to create something, you know. But some people are just content just not doing that, you know, just kind of,
yeah,
just doing cover music, you know, playing what they hear,
yeah,
not what they want to create necessarily.
Yeah,
you know?
I've tried to figure that out myself, like, because there's some guy, you know, like, guys that are shredders, man, that, you know, they can take a song that they hear on the radio and they can play it, you know, note for note, and it sounds incredible, but it's like, I wonder if, like, they, you know, if they just struggle writing their own stuff, and they rather stick to covers, or how it works, or if they're just more comfortable with that. But it's like,
yeah,
you know,
I've known a few guys that are great musicians,
yeah,
but they just can't write. I don't know if it's that they can or they just choose not to. Just, yeah, maybe it's a little bit of both. I don't know.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, it's that creative impulse, I can only, like, contain it for so long before I'm like, okay, sure, I gotta do something original, yeah, man. Sit down with a buddy with an acoustic guitar and write something, you know. Yeah. A lot of people are afraid of writing, you know, like, they're afraid that it's not going to be that good or whatever,
sure,
you know, and at first it's not going to be good, but you keep writing and keep doing it, and eventually you will write a good song,
yeah,
you know.
You write lyrics too, or are you
I've never been a lyric guy.
Yeah.
I've just always been a music guy, you know. Me and our singer from Soul Kiss, who's now the singer with Empire Groove, he and I wrote really well together because he was lyrics, melody, I was music, you know. It just worked real well, you know, because I would come to him with an arrangement, you know, a chord progression, you know, sometimes a whole song, like arrangement, progression, everything, you know. And he'd put lyrics and melody to it, like, in a half hour, you know. Just really, he's really good with that,
yeah,
you know. So yeah, I'm more of a music guy, a music arranger kind of thing.
Okay.
You know.
Sure. So you're hoping to hit with that in the summer, and then is that something like you guys would consider recording?
Absolutely. We're you know, right now, like I said, we're in the writing process. We got about 7-8 songs ready to, well, probably about 6 or 7 songs ready to go. And we're just trying to work up to around 15, get like 15 solid tunes, and then start playing out.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go in and record some stuff, you know. And I'm looking forward to it. I've played with horn sections before, but never like in a regular kind of setting, you know, like they're actually a part of the band every show,
man,
you know, so that'll be fun, you know. So we're looking forward to getting out, and I'm looking forward to, like I said, just doing something a little bit different, doing something original, having fun, you know. And it's one of these things too where it's much different than back when I was doing original music before. Because we were seriously trying to get a recording contract,
right?
You know, and so there was like all this pressure, you know, to kind of write good songs, and we were rehearsing like 5 times a week, and blah 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 blah, you know. And now it's just have fun,
yeah,
man. Just whatever happens, and just throw it out there and have a good time, man. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, you know? From, you know, conversations I've had, and just the kind of seeing the trends of the business now, like, it seems like that's definitely the way to go about it now, and so it seems to be a lot more rewarding that way, to like kind of the DIY kind of route, you know. And like you know, obviously it's cool to have the label thing, but I don't think like those contracts aren't there anymore.
Yeah, and, I mean, and we're, you know, like, you know, we're 40 years old,
sure,
man. Like, you know, We're not getting picked up by any record labels anytime soon, or winning any Grammys anytime soon. So, but we can go out and, you know, we can write, we can create, and throw it out there for people, and you know, it's gonna be a fun project too. It's gonna be like upbeat, dancey, funky. Come to a show, you dance.
Yeah.
Like come to an original show to dance. You know, that's kind of the thing.
Yeah.
You know,
it's never too late though, man. You know Charles Bradley.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was never too late.
Yeah, I think he was like in the 60s when he started singing, so like or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, yeah, you're right. Anything can happen. You know, anything could happen. Definitely,
I mean, he's touring the country and all over the place.
Yeah, man. The right person hears you. You meet the right person. Timing's everything, that kind of thing. I'm not. You know, it's one of those things where I'm just not even thinking about it.
Right.
I'm just like, let's go out, have fun, play some music, and hopefully people dig it. You know,
definitely.
I think people will. Honestly, it's a lot of fun.
Sure.
So yeah.
Wrapping this thing up. Let's you gonna watch the Super Bowl this weekend?
I am, absolutely.
Do you have a prediction?
I'm gonna predict Carolina, but I'm not gonna root for them.
Yeah.
But I think they're gonna win.
All right.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not really crazy about either team. I had a friend. We never really met, but we went to the same high school. Monty Ball used to play for the Broncos for a little while.
Okay.
And so it was pretty cool to root for him, you know, being that.
Yeah. I like Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
You know, I would have rather seen the Cardinals go rather than Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, but Carolina, they just look too strong.
Yeah.
I think they're going to, I think it's going to probably be a rout, actually, right. You know.
Yeah.
But you never know. It's you know, any given Sunday, you know.
I think it'd be fun to see Peyton go out on top, because I think this is probably going to be it. Like,
I don't think it's going to happen though. But I'd like to see it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Man, this has been a ton of fun. I appreciate you.
No problem.
Taking some time out. Thanks
for having me. And
getting to meet you, man. This is it's been cool.
Yeah, and thanks for all you do for the local scene, man. It's awesome to have somebody like you out there going to shows, supporting the scene.
Appreciate it, man. I love it. I have a great time, you know, as a fan going out to all the shows, but then now doing this show and then like getting to kind of the behind the scenes and some of the, you know, inner workings of some of the, you know, my favorite musicians and stuff, and getting to know people more on a personal level and things. And
your podcast awesome. And then everything you do. Like on a promotional level, you know, keeps people tuned into bands they normally wouldn't have ever heard of.
Sure.
And there's a lot of good local bands out there.
Definitely, yeah.
You know?
There's no shortage. I mean, like, I've said it a bunch of times, but like, I started the show and I had a fair idea of what St. Louis music was, but this show has introduced me to so many more people I had no idea about and in my own town. And I've got 170-something episodes up there and very little repeats. So, like, you know, there's always constantly finding more and more people to, you know, making music in this town. So,
yeah, it just seems, you know, a lot of good local bands aren't getting, like, the publicity that they should be getting. You know, like Talk, like, I, you know, saw them open up for Dada at the old Rock House. Had no idea who they were, you know, but I was like, wow, man, they were really good. They blew me away, you know, like, where'd they come from, you know, so, but yeah, I mean, it's good you're putting it out there, so.
Oh, thanks, man. So what do we got, dates,
With Three Pedros, like I said, we're at Truffles in Ladue every Thursday from 8 to 11. This coming weekend, this is going to air next week.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where we're at there.
Yeah.
But Vote for Pedro, you know, we play all over town. And we do Ameristar Casino and River City Casino and Trainwreck. Westport and Cafe O and Chase Park Plaza. And you can go to vote4pedro.net, and that has their entire calendar for Vote for Pedro. And there's a link to the Three Pedros webpage on there, too. And you can search Vote for Pedro or Three Pedros on Facebook and like us on there. And you'll get updates on shows via Facebook, too.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, and we'll try and put some tunes on here if we...
Yeah, absolutely.
And, give you a little taste of what they're about, and come out and see a show. Bring your dancing shoes.
Bring your dancing shoes, because it's, and that's what we do, man. We keep dance floors packed.
Yeah,
you know, and we do it consistently. So
very cool. And keep an eye out summer 2016 for some new tunes.
Yes.
So yeah, it's exciting stuff, man.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So
thanks again for having me.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right.
Rock, 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 rock